In Galatians chapter 5, we'll start reading tonight at verse number 16. Galatians 5:16, and we'll read down through 23. The Bible said, "This I say unto thee, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love," not the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit, "is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, give us wisdom tonight. Help us, Lord, to understand these things and to see these things that your word has brought out. And Lord, those things that we may not see, bring them out, God, that we can see them. And Lord, I pray that the hand of the Lord might be real to us. Direct our thoughts and our paths, and may we exalt and magnify your name. And I pray, God, you'd give us unction and liberty. May we speak as we wish we had. Thank you, Lord, for these people that are here. Touch our nation, the people around our land. And I pray, God, you'll touch us in the midst of all our troubles and trials. And Lord, we give you the glory for what you're doing and going to do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to talk about maybe four things here tonight that we can see. We could probably put another one in. You may see them with me. First of all, go back to verse number 16. And he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You find two of them right there. One is the Spirit of God, and the other is the flesh, which we'll call self tonight. All right? Your flesh is self, right? Amen. You think a lot of self, I am sure. All of us do. Self has given me a lot of trouble. The devil gets blamed for a lot of the flesh or a lot of self. But look at these tonight. We find the Spirit, and we find self or the flesh. And we'll look at that. Now, down in verses 19, down through 21, don't say the word in there, but we'll find that this is the deeds of the sinner. We find the sinner right here. And in those same things, reading between the lines tonight, we know that the sinner is controlled by Satan. Amen. And so we'll give you some things that he's done and what happens to the sinner. And then we look on down in verse number 22 and 23. I'll add another. We probably won't preach on it tonight, but I'll add another. You find the saint. Amen. Now he's the born-again believer that's saved by the grace of God, not allowing the flesh to take control. That's the saint of God. So we'll look at that. Let's go back a minute and look at three things I want to point out about the flesh. The flesh tonight, number one, opposes the Spirit. There's a constant warfare going on in me. There's a constant warfare going on in you. You have the Spirit here and the flesh here. And they fight one another. They're constantly fighting. The flesh does not like the Spirit, and the Spirit don't want to put up with the flesh and its rottenness. And the flesh is rotten to the core, right? Or self. We call him self just to stay with the S's if you want to. So we know that of the self tonight opposes the spirit. Many times in my life, when the Spirit of God directs me in the, I rebel. I don't like to tell that, and you don't like to tell it, but many times the Spirit of God has directed you to do something, directed you how to live by the Word of God, and you rebel to that. We don't like the Spirit of God to dictate to our heart. Brother, every person, I don't care tonight whether you're lost or saved. People don't want to listen to the Spirit. Now the lost man, he pays no attention to the Spirit of God. The first thing he needs to do is get right with God and get saved. And there's no need him of trying to clean his life up. Matter of fact, if he got cleaned up at all, he'd have to clean his life up. Unless the Spirit of God moves on the inside, he wouldn't have the ability, nor the power, nor the authority, or the sense to do that tonight. The Spirit of God is what changes us and makes us a brand new creature. But self fights the flesh. I mean, the self fights the spirit. Amen. I'm trying to get that F and that S together, but we're looking at this. The self fights the spirit, and we have a problem with that tonight. So we not only see that the flesh opposes the spirit, but number two, the flesh is open to sin. Now don't you tell me tonight you can't sin. I know some people I've met down through the years, and they said they've got saved, and you know, when you get saved, you don't sin no more. You ever met them? I've talked to a lot of them. They tried to convince me that you can live without sin. Amen. I say this. They say you're supposed to be perfect, and I said we're not perfect, but we all can be more perfect than what we are. Did you know you can be more perfect than what you are? Amen. If you work on it, you could. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of God is what makes you right with Him. But the Spirit and the flesh fight each other. And this is one way the flesh fights the Spirit, is he's open to sin. I want to tell you something. I wouldn't put anything past anybody. I've lived a long time on this earth, and I've seen things that's happened. I've seen people that I would have believed that there was nothing that they'd step out of line with, and all of a sudden they have shocked me and turned my world upside down, and I've seen things that I thought would never take place. I'm not going to boast tonight and brag that I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say by the grace of God, I'm going to live clean and live straight till the Lord calls me out of here. But I don't know. The flesh gets weak sometimes. And it fights the spirit. Brother, you can get in a moment. Amen. I would have never believed that Peter would have cursed the Lord. Or said some bad language and denied the Lord Christ. Amen. After walking with him for 3.5 years, I've seen people in the scriptures. I would have said, that would never happen. He walked with the Lord, saw him every day of his life, and then all of a sudden denied him. I wouldn't have believed that. I'd have been walking with Peter in those days. Amen. And so I had to be. I've seen people today in my lifetime, in my course of years, that I would have said, oh, you can count on them. You can put your trust. You can't put your trust in nobody. Now, I appreciate a lot of people, and I trust a lot of folks. But I want to tell you something. I don't trust them a place with my soul. I know tonight that they've got flesh just like I have, and flesh is weak. And it can fail, and it will fail, and flesh is open to sin. Next turn you make down the road, amen, may get you in trouble. But I want to say that's the second thing. The third thing I want to say about the flesh is that it is ordained to judgment. Flesh is going to have to give account for God, or to God, for what it has done. I'm going to have to stand before God. That may not bother you. But it does me. Amen. Now, somebody made a little statement one time, and they said something about the fear of God. And I said, well, I don't fear God in that respect of what you're talking about. Said, you don't fear God about facing God? I said, didn't say that. Amen. I fear God to stand before Him. But I don't fear him tonight to stand before him with a sense of having to go to hell, because I know my soul has been redeemed and it's been washed in the blood, and God's given me the promise. Now, some of these folks tonight don't believe that. You know, we just preached on that one other Sunday night about being born again, saved by the grace of God and kept by the grace of God. Amen. I titled the message, Falling from Grace. And after I got it put online, I thought, I shouldn't have titled that thing, Falling from Grace. Amen. Nobody wanted to listen to that message much. But if I'd have put on there, the error or the false statement of falling from grace, I believe I'd have got more hits on that sermon. Amen. They probably think now, I got to think about, I may go change the title on it. They may think I'm a falling from grace feller. Amen. And I don't, amen. I believe tonight that you're kept by the power of Almighty God. But the flesh is open to sin. It's open to judgment too as well. And it's opposed to the Spirit. Now let's look at the second one. The Bible said in verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. He didn't say walk in the flesh, did he? Walk in the Spirit. And then he says, if you walk in the Spirit, he gives you what will happen. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Somebody said, my flesh is weak and I can't control it. If you get in the Spirit will control it. You're right. You can't control it. I can't control me. I've tried. A lot of other people tried. It don't work. You can't control yourself. You've got flesh. About the time you think everything's all right, the devil puts something in your mind. He'll put something in your in the front of you to trap you. And he'll put something to trip you. Amen. He'll put something in front of you to lead you to the side. But I tell you tonight that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, what is the lust of the flesh? Let's look at this just a minute. Take your Bible and go to the book of James. Hold your place there. And let's go to the book of James tonight. You got the book of Hebrews, you got 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and then James, and then 1 Peter, 2 Peter. In James, I want you to go to the first chapter. I've read this, preached on it many times, but I want to read it to you. And I could tell you what it says, but I want you to see it. The Bible said in verse 13 of chapter 1 of the book of James, let no man say, when he is tempted or tested, I am tempted of God. He said, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God won't tempt you. Somebody said, God's a tempter. God don't tempt. The devil does. But he said, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and entice. What does the flesh go at? Lust. What is lust? That which the flesh desires. That which the flesh wants. That which the flesh craves is lust. And the Bible said lust. Talks about it here. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then he goes on to say in verse 15, then when lust, that which you desire, that which you want, that which you crave after, hath conceived. Just thinking on it ain't going to do it. But when it's conceived, and it's conceived in your heart, by the way, and he says, it bringeth forth sin. And then when it brings forth sin, the Bible said, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now the Bible teaches us that the flesh and the spirit have a warfare. And the flesh wants to do the lust of the flesh. But I want to say three things about the Spirit of God tonight. I could say more. But as I look at it tonight, the Spirit of God will give you victory over lust. Somebody said, I couldn't help myself. I could not keep from doing it. I've heard, and I guess that's as good as any. Have you ever got somewhere and done something you shouldn't have done, and you said, I just couldn't help myself. It's a weak moment. I imagine that's what Peter said when he cursed the Lord. I didn't mean to do that.
You'd have brought him back out on a platform and put him on the carpet and said, Peter, why did you curse the Lord? Did you have that in you? I didn't have no intentions of cursing the Lord. I had no intentions of denying that he is the Christ. I had no intentions. He just got me. See, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Your flesh is weak. My flesh is weak. I wouldn't put anything past what this flesh would do tonight. Amen. I don't trust it as far as I can throw it. And I tell you, I can't throw my flesh very far. Amen. And I couldn't throw yours very far either, but I'm telling you. So I think about it tonight. My flesh is weak, and I don't want to use that as an excuse, but my flesh is weak. But the Spirit of God is greater than my flesh, and He can keep me from those lusts. God can direct me through the Spirit of God to keep my mind off of them. You said, well, what happens? Lust, when it's put in front of you, it's there. The devil's going to do that. Amen. He may be a mighty poor devil and a bad devil, and he is, if he didn't entice you. He wouldn't be doing his job, is I guess what I ought to say tonight, if he didn't entice you and make you lust after something. And then what happens? Just looking at that or doing that. You see, David wouldn't have had no problem with Bathsheba if once he saw her bathing, he had left it alone. But lust, his thinking on it, desiring, and the lust in the flesh were stirred up. And then the next thing you know, lust, when it's conceived, and manifested in the heart and comes alive in the heart, then what happened? It produced sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Brother, we'll look at this tonight, the flesh and the spirit. Now, the spirit has the power to give us the victory over our temptations. I believe tonight that there's not a temptation but what would come your way, but God will give you a way of escape. I believe that from the Word of God. And God will take that away from you and take that and remove it. And or either give you the ability and the strength and the power to say no. I've known people that were drunkards and got saved, and God took them off the alcohol right automatically, right there. But they get a weak point in their life, months and years, maybe years. And troubles go, financial problems, physical problems, maybe other things happen in their life, or maybe a job or whatever. And the next thing you know, they catch themselves drinking. And they'll say, but my flesh was weak, and I don't know what made me do it. But see, the devil tonight can put that in front of you. But I want to say God, through the Spirit tonight, can keep you from getting involved in that. He can deliver you from it. You said, wouldn't you like to think tonight that God is more powerful and the Spirit is more powerful than the devil tonight?
That's right.
If you said, I couldn't help it, what you're saying is, there's a God that dwells in me and He's not able to keep me from it, and I yielded to the flesh. The problem is, don't blame God, blame yourself, because you let the flesh get you in trouble. Amen. The Spirit of God can give us victory over lust. Secondly, the Spirit of God can give us victory over the law. These believers here in Galatia, they're wanting to go back under the law. They're trying to practice circumcision. They're wanting to get away from the grace of God. They weren't used to the grace of God. It was a new thing to them. It's a brand new menu in their spiritual life. They didn't know how to handle that. They couldn't put it together. They've been used to doing and doing. And that's what the law does, is do. And they could not comprehend the thought that God's already paid the price, and it's the grace of God that's going to keep me straight. And so they'd yield back to the law that they were comfortable under. But the Spirit of God, amen, has got the victory tonight over that law and over your past life. You see, we don't have, I don't go back and think about sacrifices that we used to make, because we didn't make any. I don't go back and think about trying to straighten my life out and do things, because I didn't do too good a job with that. But these Jews had this thought that they offer a lamb or a sacrifice or had circumcision, and that circumcision was a sign of the open flesh, that there was something to this thing, and that was the evidence of it. And so they wanted to fall back under that so that they have the evidence and the proof that they were real. And so they'd fall, but the Spirit of God can keep us from going back. Have you ever seen people that wanted to go back to their past life? Amen. They wanted to go back to their past life. I believe I met some people, they're upset because they can't go back and do what they used to do before they got saved. Amen. I have no desire to go back. I didn't have any life. I was dead. Amen. God made me alive. I don't want to go back to my past life. And I give God the praise. But you'd hear some, you'd think, wanting to go back to it. Now, the next thing about the Spirit of God, giving you three things. Number one, the Spirit of God give you victory over lust, give you victory over the law, and the Spirit of God will give you victory over your life. Amen. Have you ever seen so many Christian people today, church folks, that are so discouraged, distraught? Right now, especially, I'm seeing them. I don't get out much. I'm trying my best to stay out of the crowds. This is the biggest crowd I've seen in this morning all week, except with Walmart, and I tried to stay my distance. Amen. I'd rather have this crowd as that crowd. But what I'm trying to say tonight is this. I've looked at this thing and looking at the crowd, and if you look at the crowd and the crowd gets involved, they're all upset. I hadn't loaded my buggy up with all the stuff. The shelves are empty. I couldn't even find no Cheerios the other night. Pitiful. I mean, we like them little Frosty Flakes. And they're good for us old people to eat before you go to bed. You youngins will get used to that one of these days. Amen. It's not too bad on your stomach, is it, brother? It's not. Brother Dale will say amen. It's not rough on your stomach. Now, you youngins can eat a T-bone steak and go to bed. I used to could, but I can't no more. Amen. I remember going to meetings when I was 35 years old or somewhere along there and go to a meeting, and the meeting lasts about midnight. And then we go down to a restaurant somewhere and just pig out. I've gone to preachers' houses and sat down and had a full course meal at 1 o'clock in the morning. Didn't think nothing about it. That's rough to have at 1 o'clock in the evening now. Understand? But what I'm trying to say is, tonight as I look at these things, troubles come. Troubles come. Troubles come. And troubles keep on coming. People, have you noticed anything? I'll be glad when we get down the road a little bit. This business about the virus is killing me. Just listening to the news. I don't even want to hear it. I know and try my best to stay out of it, and I want to know just enough to keep up with it and know what's going on. But they're just running that into the ground. And the twist and everything, you hear one say this and another say that. One doctor says you need to do it. Another doctor said, well, I disagree with him just a little bit. One said, I'm getting everything I need. Another says, well, we can't get nothing. And you look at that, and they're about ready to throw their hands up in the air. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of God can give us victory in our everyday life. Amen. Going to get a little tough around sometimes here. Some of these folks is losing some jobs and job abilities and can't have them and have to go on unemployment. And that's going to happen. It's going to look bad for the next little while. And we'll find people is all distraught. But I want to say to you, brother, let's trust God. The Spirit of God can give us victory. And He can give us victory over every problem that we have in life. So we've looked at the flesh or the self. And then we looked at the Spirit. Now number three, in verses number 20, or verses 19, 20, and 21, we'll find the fruit of the flesh. Don't say the fruits of it, but it said the works of the flesh here. The works of the flesh are manifest. And he begins to tell, and all these are sins of the flesh. And to do these, And he talks about them, and these were unbelievers. Verse number 19, 20, and 21 is unbelievers, lost men and women. You said, how do you know that? Because the Bible said down here in the last part of verse 21, I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're lost. These are the fruits or the works of the flesh. They're the works of the lost man. Three things I want to tell you about the sinner tonight. I could tell you a lot more than that. But number one, sinners are dead. They're dead in trespass and sin. Ephesians 2 says we were dead in trespass. We're not dead now, we're alive. But the sinner is still dead. So we need to work on him. Amen. You know why they do what they do? They're dead. A dead man don't know what he's doing. A dead man has no feeling. A dead man has no thinking. A dead man has no walk. A dead man has no talk. A dead man is dead. You can't get nothing right out of a dead man. But that's what the sinner is. He's dead in trespasses and sins. He thinks he's all right, but he's dead. He tries to point out and show you that there's some things in his life that are good, but he's dead. He tries to convince you that everything's all right with his way of life, but he's dead in trespasses and sin. Secondly, not only is a dead man, there are sinners dead, we need to get that as a whole, but I'll tell you something, he's deceived. Why is he dead? Because the devil has deceived him. Now we're seeing the devil in the shadows here. And the devil has deceived him. You know what that word deceive means? It means to beguile. It means to mislead. It means to trick them. Amen. If you want country language, it's to hoodwink them. That's what the devil does. He tries to make a sucker out of them. Amen. That they'll just believe. Amen. Every time I think about being deceived, I don't know why I think of this, but I think of these telemarketers that call you all day long. They've all got something good to tell you. Amen. This lady calls and my wife answers the phone and she says, this is the Social Security. Now they don't do it that way. This is the Social Security office. And we want to tell you that your Social Security has been canceled. And if you don't call this number, it's going to be canceled. And it shook my wife up. She said, get the phone. And I said, hello. And she said, I just wanted to tell you that your Social Security. I said, whose Social Security are you to? She said, yours. I said, do you know my name? She said, I said, do you know my name? She said, sir, the Social Security is going to cancel your Social Security. I said, what's my name? Social Security knows my name. Amen. And I said, you're a scammer. She said, I'm not. I said, you're a scammer. Don't call no more. Amen. And she said, all right, we'll put you on the no call. I've got two or three more calls. It don't do no good to put yourself on a no call list. They just go to another one. Fella calls me, I told you this the other day, out of Canada. I mean, he is just a cursing. I mean, bad language. And he said, you're a scammer taking everything I've got. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, really? No, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, you sent me an email. I said, I ain't sent nobody email. He said, you have. I said, what did I say? He said, you know what you said. So he hung up, and he called back in a few minutes, and he said, I'm going to call you and keep a calling you and all these other scammers because you are taking my money. I thought, wonder where it's at. I didn't see it. And I said, sir, I'm a Baptist preacher. I don't do them kind of things. Oh, really? I said, yeah. Well, he got off the phone. I didn't pay no more attention to it. And I go to sleep. Well, no, don't. I go to bed to go to sleep. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone rung. And I thought it was somebody having problems. Amen. Somebody called me in the middle of the night. I take note. And so I said, hello. I didn't look at the number. I said, hello. And he started off a cursing again. And he said, and I said, what are you talking about? I do not. He said, you don't know. I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, well, you will know when they come and lock you up. And I said, sir, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been washed in the blood of Christ? Let me tell you about Jesus dying on the cross. And I give him a sermon at 2 o'clock in the morning. I ain't heard no more. He ain't called me back. Matter of fact, I looked at that number and I said, he can call me back again. And I got that number. But it bothered me. I wasn't asleep. And no, I got up. Got my computer. My computer was on. I went in and I punched in the zip code. Not the zip code. The area code of that phone. And it come back and said it's Winnipeg, Canada. Amen. So I ain't heard no more from him. But they used my phone number to do that. And so when I think about this, I think about them folks as trying to deceive. That's what they do on the phone. They're trying to deceive somebody. And the devil's talked so nice to so many people in the world that they believe exactly what he's saying. But the devil tonight, he's a deceiver. Secondly, not only sinners are deceived, but they are depraved. The word depraved simply means that they're corrupt. They're perverted. They're degenerate. They're at the place that they could do anything. A depraved individual is a person that can't help themselves. They're so sold under sin that they're involved in it completely. And the devil has put them there. Brother, they need the touch of God. Now think about depraved individuals. We're living among them tonight. They're so depraved. The lost man's depraved. He cannot make himself any better. He can quote Bible and go to Sunday school and get all the awards that he can get in the spiritual world. But all that'll do is just one of these days he'll have to give it all up and go to hell anyhow. Won't do a bit of good for him. He's depraved. Not only that, but sinners tonight, they're doomed. They're doomed to a devil's hell. I guess more so as the days go by, the older I get, the more it bothers me about a man or woman lost. I'm glad tonight that the devil, he tried to deceive me, but he didn't succeed. I was depraved and he had helped me get to that position. And I was doomed. But I'm glad tonight that I'm not doomed to hell anymore. I've been set free. Now we know tonight the instigator of every one of those is the devil. Now I'll mention this in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit. Fruit is plural. But the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. I used to preach years ago that this is the fruits of the Spirit. And here's the fruits of the Spirit. That's not what the Bible says. The fruit of the Spirit is, when you go get an apple off a tree, isn't that the fruit? Amen. If it had an apple and a cherry and an orange and a pear, you'd be fruits. But now this is fruit. One fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what the saints of God have. And they're to have all that. One saint may love a little more than another. One may be meeker than the other. But he may not have no long-suffering, got no joy. Something's wrong with the fruit. And so we find tonight that we, as the saints of God, are led by the Spirit and the Word of God, and God can help us. And I'm glad as we look at these things, you see, God's got all these characters right in here. And He's got an answer for them through the Spirit. Give God the praise. I'm glad I'm not lost anymore. I'm glad I'm saved. I've been redeemed. I'm glad I know I'm going to heaven. Not guessing, hoping, or thinking. I know tonight that I passed from death unto life. Amen. I know what my past life was. I know what my present life is. And glory to God, can't wait to see my my future life when I get there. Amen. Thank God for His goodness. Heads bowed. Thank You for coming to the house of the Lord. Thank God tonight for the Word of the living God that can redeem and save and charge us and challenge us.